Luke chapter 15 and Matthew chapter 18. First of all, let's focus our attention on Luke chapter 15. Let's all stand, please. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Notice this, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." What an accusation. I mean, as if this is something bad. This man receiveth sinners. You know, we all ought to be glad that Jesus receives sinners. Amen. We'd be in a mess if Jesus didn't receive sinners. Notice verse 3, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying," by the way, this parable is in response to what has just transpired. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And so Jesus tells a story here in response to the comments made by the Pharisees concerning a shepherd that had 100 sheep, and yet one had gone astray, and the tenacity that he displayed in the finding of that one that was lost. Now let's go back over to Matthew chapter number 18, and we see a little bit different circumstance, but basically a chance for Christ to use the same story. In verses 1 through 10, which we won't take the time to read, Jesus brings before the crowd their one little child and sets them in the midst of them. And then he talks about the child, talks about the importance of children, talks about how we cannot be converted unless we become as a little child, warns against those who would offend a little child. And then he starts down in verse number 11, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Notice this, verse 12, the first three words, "How think ye?" You know what I find as I read the Gospels? Jesus was always trying to get his disciples to think. To think. Not with the carnal mind, but with the spiritual mind. He wanted them to think and begin to elevate their thinking, to begin to think as God would think, to see as God would see. "How think ye?" Notice this. "If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones," still talking about the children, "little ones should perish." This morning we're going to talk about one lost sheep. One lost sheep. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And Lord, your graciousness that you've extended our way throughout the week. We thank you, Lord, for the strength that you offer, the strength that you give. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that this morning's service, Lord, we've been blessed already. Boy, I just sat down there during the Sunday school hour and just rejoiced and rejoiced and rejoiced. I got to look into many, many of the faces of the young people at the beginning of this week. This time last week, were lost and on their way to hell. And they were able to stand up before the crowd and say, "I got saved this week." What a blessing that is. And Lord, we would wish that to be so today. If there'd be one person under the sound of my voice that does not know, does not have the assurance of their salvation, would not know what would happen if eternity were to begin for them today, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their heart. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit conviction, that great drawing of the Father, take place in their heart and life, Lord. And may they not leave this place without having received you as Savior. Now, Lord, we need you today. I know I do. And I ask God that you'd help me as I preach, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. The story here is talking about a shepherd that had 100 sheep. and just one of them came up missing. I can relate a little bit to this story because all through my growing up years, and even now as a grown up, I still haven't learned any better. We Rosses have always liked to toy with the idea that we should have some kind of livestock on our property. And the problem with livestock on the property is that a lot of times the fence, the whole idea of a fence and livestock, you know, seems like a good idea and it seems like it ought to work, but it's amazing how many times, no matter what you've done or how good you think your fence is, they still manage to get out. I know Pastor called, I called him the day after I think that the guy had come up to his property, and his big last summer project was he had somebody come in and put good fence all the way around his pasture, and I went out there, and boy, I hate to say that, I was a little envious. It was good fence. It was excellent fence, and while he was doing that, we had his cows over on my property, and when it got done, we chased them over into his and a brand new fence and got it all done, and the next morning, his cows were in the front yard of his house, eating his grass out of his yard. And it seems like no matter what you think you've done, these livestock have a way of getting outside the fence. By the way, it reminds us a little bit of us. Amen. But I've never seen my dad growing up. I remember at times we'd be thinking, oh, you know, it's Saturday, and we'll get asleep in a little bit. And I remember some Saturday mornings laying there in a bunk bed and hearing outside my window the sound of a pig rooting around in mom's flower bed, amen? And I'd hear this voice screaming from the kitchen, "Get up, boys, get up! The pigs are out!" And here we go, chasing pigs all over the property out there. Brother Dave, when we lived out at your place, we decided we were going to be pig farmers. And we weren't, we were pig herders. That's what we were. We spent most of our time chasing them silly pigs all over the place. I don't know if you know this or not, but pigs are very adapt at swimming. Yes. They really are. They can swim. Remember one time us three boys said, okay, you know, we can't catch this one. So I said, let's come from three different directions. We'll corral them and we'll back them up against the edge of the pond. Then we can catch him. Well, that pig just looked at us when it got to the edge of the pond, looked at all three of us, turned around and dived right into the pond. Swam right across the other side, shook itself and looked back as if to say, nah, 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 thought you had me, but you don't have me. And you know what? We're kind of like livestock. Sometimes we have a tendency to go astray. Sometimes we're like livestock. You know, we always talk about the dumb cows. I think sometimes God looks down and says, them dumb humans. You know, I put some fences up and it's for their own good, but they always trying to figure out a way to get outside the fence there, you know. Not one time have I ever seen Dad go out there and say, hey, boys, guess what? What? Well, one of the pigs is out, but we still have two, so, oh, that's good enough. Praise God. At least we got the two. No, he never was satisfied with that. If there was a pig missing, we were sent out to scurry the adjacent properties, to look out in the woods, to check every briar patch till we found that missing one. And I think anybody that's ever had livestock has never got to the point where if they miss one, hey, every once in a while, one comes up in, oh, don't worry about it. Let's thank God for the 90 and 9. Let's not get greedy here. And boy, if that's true of livestock, folks, I think what Jesus is trying to teach us here is that it ought to be so much more true of human beings, of lost souls. And there we see in this portion of Scripture, and for sake of time, we'll get right into it. But I see three wonderful things about Jesus. And of course, Jesus is our supreme example, folks. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Him. When you see Jesus do something or want something or become concerned about something, I think that we ought to be concerned about the same thing. And as we go through this story, we're going to pay most of our attention now. We're going to direct most of our attention in the book of Matthew here. Matthew chapter number 18. Now in verse number 11, Jesus starts out by clearly stating the purpose of Him coming to earth. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Period. Period. He says over in the book of Luke, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came. That's why He came, folks. He came because we were in trouble. He came because we're human race was in trouble. We were heading down a road towards hell. Jesus saw that and said, you know what? I love them and I want to save them. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the primary reason for his coming to earth. Never forget that. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. Why have Vacation Bible School? Because Jesus came to save sinners. Why go down to the nursing home, Brother Randy? Because Jesus came to save sinners. Why not cancel the afternoon? I mean, you've had a long week, Brother Castro. Why not just cancel this afternoon and stay home and rest? Because Jesus came to save sinners. Why did Brother Bo look at his doctor and say, I'll tell you what, one way or another, with God's help, I'm going to drive that bus all week for VBS. I'll tell you why. Because Jesus came to save sinners. That's why Jesus came to save sinners. Now, let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. That's the primary reason. You know what? If that's the heartbeat of Jesus Christ, shouldn't it be the heartbeat of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? If it's the heartbeat of Jesus Christ, shouldn't that be your heartbeat? Shouldn't be that be the primary goal, the primary reason that you get out of it? Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. Well, we started out there. Now, I want you to draw three observations from this little story here, beginning in verse number 12. Number one, Jesus was concerned over just one lost sheep. I like this. I like that. Jesus was concerned over one lost sheep. We see in this story the compassion of Christ, the concern of Christ. He pictures for us a shepherd. And this shepherd at the end of the day is bringing these sheep back home. And he's going through and he's counting them as they come in. And by the way, the shepherd led the sheep. He didn't drive the sheep. He got out front and he led the sheep. And so he was out front there. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. By the way, a shepherd that's had the same flock, I guarantee you, listen, you know this is true if you've had livestock. Livestock animals have different personalities. They have different looks. They may just look like a herd to somebody else, but to the person that's with them every day, he knows every one of them. He knows their tendencies. He knows what they look like. He knows their temperaments. And I think this was a treat at the end of the day to count and to look at each and every one and to realize that this group was under his care. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He kept counting. Kept counting on up. 50, 51, 52, 53, 50, all the way up to 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 99, 99. And he herded them all together. Maybe he did a recount, and there's 99. And if sheep could talk, maybe one of the sheep would say, hey, don't worry about him. He's always wandering off. Come on, you have 99 here. What's wrong? I mean, come on, you've got most of us. He could have, if he was any kind of a different Savior, he could have went over and said, well, thank God for these, and pillowed his head and went to sleep and said, oh, well, I'll just maybe find him in the morning. Oh, maybe he'll show up. But you know what? I can see this shepherd pacing back and forth. Where's that one? Where's that one at? Where did I lose him at? Where was he? What's happening to him right now? Boy, in the dark of the night, he could hear maybe the wild scream of a mountain lion. In the dark of the night, he could hear the howl of a wolf. And all he could do was pace back and forth and think about that somewhere out there, there's a lost sheep. Somewhere out there's a lost sheep. He became so concerned, he said, I'm going to leave you here together. I'm going to leave you here and I'll stick together because I can't sleep. I can't rest my head. I can't relax. You know why? Because there's one out there. There's one that's lost out there. There's still one that's lost out there somewhere. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is not satisfied today with the great crowd that we have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Jesus is not satisfied today that we're running a high attendance at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'll tell you something else. Jesus is thrilled, but he's not satisfied that 30 was saved. You know what? He wants one more. He wants one more. While we rejoice sometime over the crowd we have, Jesus looks out at the one that's still not here. As we rejoice because of what God has done, Jesus still looks forward to what he wants to do. And Jesus is concerned about that one lost sheep. Folks, you know what we need? We need the compassion. We need the burden of Jesus Christ when it comes to the lost. Are you listening to me? I'm talking to some of you that's been saved for 20 years. I'm talking about some of you that's been saved for 30 years. You need a holy baptism of concern and compassion over that one lost soul. If we're not careful, we just get used to it. We're not careful, we just kind of lose. Listen, I'll never forget when I was pastoring in Brazil, Indiana, and one Sunday morning I preached a message on hell. And I got done preaching a message, and I saw a little 8-year-old girl come to the front, and she came up and she knelt on a pew right up here at the front. We had the old wooden pews. We were a fundamental Baptist church, not a liberal one. And we had no padding, you know, just the hard, I mean, you know, hard. Maybe that's why I couldn't get anybody to come. But we had the hard pews. And I seen this little girl kneel down, and I seen her dad come up and kneel down beside her, and she was sobbing. And I really believe with all my heart, I thought to myself, you know what, that little girl's getting saved. That little girl probably had doubt about her salvation, and here I preached on hell, and she's getting saved. And I seen her dad talk to her for a little bit, and I seen them pray together, and I seen her dad read some Bible verses to her and pray with her. And after she got done, I went over, the service was over, and the folks were leaving. And I stood at the back, and I shook this man's hand, and I said about his daughter. I said, did she get saved this morning? Is that what happened? And she said, no. He said, no, Brother Jerry, that's not what happened. I said, what happened? I said, well, this little daughter of mine's been so concerned about her uncle. She's got an uncle that's unsaved. And as you sat there this morning and preached on hell, she said, all she could say to Daddy, all I could think of was Uncle So-and-so's, he's not saved and he's going to end up going to hell. And she come up there and she cried on that pew, and her dad knelt down beside her and they wept together. And you know what? After everybody was gone that morning, I walked up to the front of the church and I looked down at that pew, and here's a puddle on the pew. A little 8-year-old girl cried until she left a puddle on the pew. Why? Because somebody she loved was lost. And I knelt down beside that little puddle of tears, and I said, oh God, what's wrong with me? Oh God, what's wrong with us is that we've lost our tears. We've lost our concern. We've lost our compassion. I'd be ashamed of myself if a little 8-year-old girl cared more about a lost soul than I did as a preacher. And I had a little revival up there on the front pew. And I shed some tears up on that front pew. And I thank God for that experience. And folks, listen to me. If we're not careful, we get all caught up in all the other things going on around. And this is going around. And that's going around. And I want to do this. And boy, this is going on. But I'm going to tell you something. We can't forget that Jesus was concerned over one lost sheep. I don't know what God's going to speak to your heart about this morning. I don't know what he's going to do in your life. But this may be the one point that was for you. If we not went any farther, this may be the reason God wanted you to come here this morning. Because you're saved, and yet you have lost your driving compassion for souls. I mean, you can lay your head on your pillow and go to sleep every night, and you don't, you're never woken up in the night concerned about someone's lost. You never find yourself pacing the floor. You never find your face wet with tears over the lost. Folks, if we lose that, we've lost what Jesus Christ is all about. Let's rejoice in the 99. But let's not forget that there's a lost soul out there. Amen. Tears on the pew. I'll never forget that. Number two. Number one, Jesus was concerned over one lost sheep. Number two, Jesus was willing to pay whatever it costs to save one lost sheep. Did you get that?
Yes.
Now think about what Jesus was willing to go through. What this shepherd was willing to go through to go find that one sheep. Number one, he was willing to leave the comfort of the sheepfold. Folks, nighttime's fallen. It's dark, that's why they're coming in for the day. And it's nighttime, and you know it's getting cold out. Boy, it'd be a lot nicer to stay here with these sheep. But he was willing to leave the comfort of the sheepfold. I'm afraid sometimes that I believe that we just get a little too comfortable in our Christianity. I thank God for the nice homes that we have as Americans, and we do. We live in luxury. Oh, you say you haven't been to my house? Let me tell you something. Your house is more luxurious than 99% of the houses in these third world countries out there. We live like kings. We live like queens. And you know what? The only problem with, I thank God for the air conditioning. I wish it worked in here, but I thank God for the air conditioning. I thank God for the heat in the wintertime. I thank God, Lord, for the fans. I thank God for the good food. I thank God for a soft bed. But I'm afraid sometimes we've constructed ourselves little cabins, little castles of luxury. And you know what we want to do with all of our spare time? We want to go and we want to sit down in a recliner, and we want to prop the feet up, and we want to turn on the entertainment center, and we want to get comfortable. And we say, well, I work hard, so I want to enjoy it. I work hard. Listen, folks, he was willing to leave the comfort of the sheepfold. You know, on Saturday mornings, folks, that alarm goes off. Sometimes it's like, oh, this is the only day I don't work, and pastor has adult soul winning. It's easy, just, you know, that bed feels good. That bed feels good. young people on Wednesdays, gee, if I go out here, I mean, especially in the summertime, Pastor Jerry, good night. In the summertime, this is the honest truth, my wife brings a clean white shirt for me because we go out soul winning, we go out door knocking in the afternoons and come in here for the Sunday school class. Well, she brings me a new white shirt. She brings me a new t-shirt. Listen, by the time I get in from 3 or 4 hours, 3 hours or so of soul winning in the afternoon and come in here Wednesday, folks, if I don't come right in and shake your hand, I'm really doing you a favor. I'm being a blessing to you. I go back and I keep my little kit back there, and it's got my deodorant and it's got my cologne. It's got everything else in there designed to try to extinguish the stink. And I change my shirt and I change my t-shirt. And I mean, folks, you know what? Summertime, 95 degrees out there, 100% humidity. Would be just, listen, Wednesday afternoon, just be a lot easier, young person, say, hey, you know what, I'll wait for a day when it's not so hot. I'll help maybe next week if the wind blows just cool enough for me. What's wrong with us? That's not Jesus. I see Jesus walking back and forth. Jesus walking back and forth. He said, you know, I can stay here where it's comfortable. I'm going to go out in the cold. I'm going to go out there where it's uncomfortable. I'm going to leave my comfort zone. I'm going to go out and seek. The Son of Man has come to seek and to say, you know, folks, listen to me. This is the honest truth. You sit in your living room in front of your entertainment center all you want, but I don't think one time anybody's ever knocked on your door and said, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said he came to seek and to save.
Right.
You have to leave the comfortable, your comfort zone. You have to get off the recliner and get off the couch. You have to go out and be cold sometime. Bus worker, boy, the bus ministry is exciting in the fall, and it's exciting in the spring. I don't know if it's at all exciting in the summer and in the winter. You know what a bus is? A bus is a gigantic heat box. It just loves to take every of these kids. I had one of the girls, Tamara, hollers at me from on Friday. She sticks her head out of the bus window and said, you guys need to air condition these buses. I said, I'll pray about that. And then I went in my air conditioning office, amen, and prayed about that for a while, you know, asked God to bless them out there on that. But I understand what she means. I know what that's like. You got a bus all shut up, and then you get on it Sunday morning. And listen, if it's 90 degrees outside the bus, it's 120 inside the bus, especially if you're crazy enough to try to put 90 people on one, amen. And anybody that's hot in that circumstance, suffer, they deserve it, is what I'm saying, you know. And but you know, it's hot. And then you get out there in the wintertime, and you know what? You crank and crank on that thing and jump out there and freeze to death. And you know, bus heaters, they work really well.
Yeah.
Man, just run that bus about 5 minutes, nice and toasty, 70 degrees on there. You know, the bus workers are walking in here, and we're not singing, I may never march in the infantry, but they're doing it anyway. They're out there, they're just trying to get feeling. The kids are just trying to get circulation back into there. But you know what, folks? We got to, listen, we as Americans, we've gotten awful comfortable. We live pretty good. You know what? That's a temptation. That's a temptation. But God calls us to go out and suffer some. He was willing to leave the comfort of the sheepfold. Number two, he was willing to leave the fellowship of the 99. Listen to me. Listen to me. Here's the danger. Here's the danger of the church, of our church and other churches when we get to about this size. It's just easy to begin to enjoy what we have.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You begin to hear little murmurings, you know. You know what? Why don't they plan more stuff for us? Why don't we have more things? Why don't we have more for the, you know, there's the group that wants to have everything for the 99. Jesus is not pacing back and forth worried about y'all. He's worried about the ones that are still out there. You know, I got an idea. Why don't you go out with a shepherd and start looking for lost sheep? And that's what it's all about. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about some of you that want to gripe and complain, some of you young people. Well, I'll tell you what, we go soul winning every week, and we haven't had two activities in the last 3 months. Well, you poor thing. You poor thing, bless your heart. You just don't have any fun, do you? You just don't have any fun. You're such a deprived generation. You have nothing. All you do is work and suffer. Come on, plan something for us. Plan something for us. By the way, we do plan a lot for you, probably much more than we ought to. Plan for us. I got an idea. Go find a lost sheep. Once you get burdened about a lost sheep, he was willing to leave the fellowship of the 99. Don't forget this, folks. If we're not careful, you can become a selfish church member. Are you listening to me? Sit around saying, well, I don't know. When's the last time Pastor came by our house? She's like, he's got time to go see bus kids' parents. He's got time to go see this person. He's got time. You don't have time to come over and drink coffee. Well, bless your heart. Bless your heart. You know what his job is? His job isn't to come over and coddle you. His job is to teach you to join him in going out looking for lost sheep. Amen. Now be careful. Be careful. It's creeping in. Be careful. You mean he left the 99? That's what it says. In Luke, he said he left them in the wilderness. They weren't lost. There was one that was lost. He went to find the lost one. Amen. This is good. This is good, folks. Amen. Come on, you can help me out here. Amen. Amen. Well, we're just a selfish bunch. Sit around a long time. I want to talk about what the preacher's not doing for us, or what ministry hasn't been invented for us. Folks, this whole community is filled with lost souls. I got a ministry for you, soul winning. I got an activity for you, bus ministry. I got an activity for you, nursing home. Yeah, and by the way, that is fun. That is fun. You can make it as fun as you want to make it. Be careful. He was willing to leave the fellowship of the 99. He was willing to leave the comfort of the sheepfold. He was willing to brave the perils of the mountains. What happened to our courage? What's happened to our courage? Lost souls aren't coming to our living rooms asking how to be saved. You got to go out and find them. And sometimes you say, well, where are they? I'll tell you where they're at. They're in the jails. Oh, Brother Ron, he's got to, Pastor Scott, Brother Ron, starting that ministry. And you can't one time every month, one time every 2 months sign up. Oh, yeah, but they're going there. And let me tell you what they do. Where's Brother John? Let me tell you what they do to us over there when you're not there, brother. You here to talk to the inmates? Yes. All right, follow me. Empty your pockets. They walk you over to the door. Go ahead. We walk in there, and there's a bunch of criminals. Then they go, clank, clank. Amen. Now I'm knowing that, with Brother Ron and I say, hi, guys. Brother Ron's got something he wants to talk to you about. Amen. Do you know almost anything you go, any place you go out to reach lost souls, there's a certain amount of danger involved? Oh, Pastor Jerry, sometimes you have 35, 40 kids on soul winning. How many chaperones do you have? Oh, 2 or 3. Do you know where they're at all times? No. I mean, I've left, I never found, some of them are still out there somewhere. I don't know. We count before we leave and we count before we come back. Now, the numbers aren't always the same, but we count. Somebody came to me one day, don't you think you should have a chaperone on every road? I said, I do. Yeah, I sure do. You going to come? You going to come help me? You wanna go? Well, I thought you. Yeah. I'm going to cut myself into 40 pieces and send each part of my body in a different road, you know. And by the way, we ought to use common sense, and we ought to use some carefulness in this day and age. But what I'm saying, folks, if you're looking for a danger-free way to win people to Jesus Christ, forget it. I get up here once in a while and tell stories about, we're taking the young people. I'll warn you right now. And by the way, I'm doing this. I'm trying to make, when you read the paper, if you read my paper yet, and then I forgot to announce about that. We've got an information sheet back there we're going to take the church, the young people. We're not going to camp this year. We're going to take them on a church planting home missions trip down in the St. Louis area. And we're going to help an inner city church that's just been planted and start plant and help a brand, you said an inner city church. Yeah, inner city church. Yeah, graffiti on the walls, drive-by shootings. I'm trying to scare because I don't really want a big group. Are you serious? Yeah, you're going to take our little precious. Yeah, that's right. It's where the lost people are. I had a guy tell me once, he said, you told a bunch of stories one night in a sermon about all the things that happened to you in Chicago when you were in Bible college, and my dad said he'd never let me go to Bible college and be in a ministry like that. I got an idea. We need to pull all of our missionaries off the mission field. Talk to Luke and talk to Betty and Bob after the service here. They just came back from a trip visiting Luke and Hannah. He don't live in a house. He lives in a fortress. You know, what happened to our courage? Caleb, what happened to our courage? well, let me find a safe, sanitized place. You know where you got to go? You got to go, if you're going to reach the devil's children, you got to go into the devil's backyard.
Right.
Are you listening to me? Well, we need to get woke up a little bit here. You know what? Let me give you an encouragement here. You say, well, Brother Jerry, you mean, you know, you'd take our young people into, listen, folks, give me a break. There was a shooting in Shelburne. Am I wrong? Am I wrong about that? Let me tell you where the safest place in the world to be is. Out winning souls for Jesus Christ. Let me give you this. You say, prove that. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, remember those two words, and lo. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You get that? I get a little nervous sometimes up on when we were doing that visitation. But thank God I was so young I didn't know better. Your daughter's going to go up there. What if she joins a bus route and goes into inner city Chicago? And lo. And lo. I'm with you always. He says, here's the Great Commission. Go preach the gospel. Get them saved. Teach them. And lo, I'm with you always. You know, the safest place to be is out soul winning. And lo. He was willing to brave the perils of the mountains. Where do you find the sheep? You find them in the jails. Where do you find the sheep? You find them on the streets. Where do you find the sheep? You find them out on the mission field. Let me challenge you. I want to stay on that just for a second. Young people, listen to me. We can't lose this thought. We can't shut the door of our heart to this matter that God may want you to be on the mission field one day. You parents hearing me? Don't you talk down missions. Don't you discourage your kid from heading in the direction of missions if God's speaking to their heart. Yeah, but I'd feel so much better. It's not about how you feel.
That's right.
You say, but there's millions here in America to be reached. That's right. But there's billions out there in the world to be reached.
Right.
Amen. Where do you find the sheep? You find them in the devil's backyard. You find them all tangled up in briars. You find them in bad situations. And you know what? You got to be willing to risk yourself a little. You have to face a little peril to rescue that sheep. Let me give you the third point. We'll be done. Number one, Jesus was concerned over one lost sheep. Jesus was willing to pay whatever cost to save one lost sheep. By the way, folks, he proved that when he died on Calvary's cross. You know, if Jesus is willing to die to save us, would it be all that much to ask for us to die to help bring somebody else to the kingdom of God? Paul Chapman left last week and going out to take a church in Rhode Island. So what happened to the last pastor? He went over to Iraq to spread the gospel and was killed. One of these days he's going to stand before God at the judgment seat and receive a martyr's crown.
Amen.
Hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant. I wonder if maybe that day we'll be a little envious that we didn't have a little more courage. Are you listening to me? Is your life all that much important? If Christ were to ask for your life in his service, would he be asking you for any more than he was willing to give? Boy, we love ourselves, don't we? We love ourselves. Amen. Number three, Jesus found his greatest joy in finding one lost sheep. I like this. Verse 13, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Isn't that a blessing? Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I like this one. And when he had found it, he lay it on his shoulders rejoicing. You know, let me share something with you. If you're here today and you're not saved, I don't know of any more beautiful picture in the Bible than I've just read to you right now. What's it feel like to be saved? It feels like being trapped in a thorn bush, trapped and bleeding and hurt, and having the hands of Jesus pull you out and pick you up and put you on his shoulders. That's what it feels like to be saved. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than that. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know what? Here's a little thing you can keep in mind. You want to know about a person? You want to know what's really in their heart? You want a good indicator of where they are spiritually? Watch what it takes to cause them to rejoice. What makes them happy? What puts a big smile on their face? What gets them the most excited? Is it when they buy something? Is it when they get something new? Is it when somebody does something for them, then they got a big smile on their face because somebody took the time? Is that what makes them happy? What makes you happy? What causes you the most joy? Well, let me tell you what causes Jesus Christ the most joy. When one lost sinner comes to repentance. You know what? I think there's a lot of rejoicing in heaven this week. I think they were having a big party in heaven this week. I think that the angels are saying, look what's going on down there, Blessed Hope. Look at them children getting saved. I think there was a lot of excitement. Jesus found his greatest joy in finding one lost sheep. One lost sheep. One lost sheep. Let me ask you a couple questions. We'll be done. Number one, are you that one lost sheep? Are you that one lost sheep? Guess what? Jesus is here. And he wants you. He wants you so much that he's moved heaven and earth to get you here this morning. If you were to die right now, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Well, I don't know that. Why don't you head to Jesus? Because he loves you and he died on the cross for your sins. But folks, let me tell you this. The majority of the thrust of this message is not to the lost, it's to us that are saved. And what we do with a message like this will determine how many more times heaven gets to rejoice in the future. Have we gotten a little comfortable? Have we gotten comfortable? When's the last time that you took your Bible and led somebody to Christ? It's the last time you took a tract and put it in a lost person's hand and say, listen, I know you don't know me, but I love you and I'm concerned about you. Would you read this? Because Jesus loves you too. You know, folks, it takes really so little effort on our part, and yet it can make an eternal difference in somebody else's life. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody's looking around. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd speak to hearts, Lord, this morning. It's been fun. It's been a good week. Lord, it's just wonderful to see you work in the hearts of young people. But, Lord, you don't want to just work in the hearts of young people. You want to work in the hearts of all of us. Jesus, we didn't read the verse, but he said that little child, and he said, except you become like children, little children, cannot see the kingdom of heaven. God, we kind of get older and we get a little proud, and we think maybe all this thing's not for us. But Lord, we have to be willing to humble ourselves as a child would humble themselves before their parents. We're willing to humble ourselves before God and see that we're a sinner lost in need of Jesus Christ. Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. While I was preaching during the course of the message, if something was happening in your heart, don't ignore it. You say, Brother Jerry, I was sitting here and I don't know how to explain this. All I know is that while you were preaching, it just feels like God's got a hold of my heart. There's something happening on the inside of me. And I don't know if I'm saved or not. I'm not even sure what that means, maybe. I can't sit here and say that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Let me tell you something. Jesus has moved heaven and earth to get you to this place today. He sought you and sought you and sought you. Now you think back through your life how many times Jesus has come to you. And he's come again this morning and he wants to untangle your life from the briars and the pitfalls of this world. He wants to save your soul. But you have to be willing to let him. We're going to sing an invitation song in just a minute. When we begin to sing, in just a moment, if you'll simply step from your seat, go to the nearest aisle, walk down here to the front. One of our deacons, Jack Gordon, is waiting down here. He'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. How about it, Christian? Boy, I tell you what, we need a stirring. We need a shaking. Boy, we need to get pushed back out of our comfort zone. We need a fire again lit in our heart like used to burn over lost souls. Let God do what he's trying to do in your life this morning. Heavenly Father, we commit this invitation, Lord, to you. We pray that your Holy Spirit be very active, and Lord, that we would allow the Spirit of God to do in our hearts this morning what he wants to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.